but risque, I don't know. It's on spiritual sexuality. And, of course, it's on anything else that you would like to bring up if you would like to give us a call, dealing with anything about metaphysics or spirituality. And it would be wonderful to hear from you. If you would like to give us a call, please do. Let me give you those numbers. Some of them has them on a sheet for me here. And, okay, if you would like to call in the U.S., call us at, are you ready for this, 877-876-5227. And if you're over in Canada, 888-815-9756. Okay, so I thought it'd be kind of interesting to bring up this subject. I'm kind of going through some of the shows that I did for the last 3 years while I was on broadcast radio, and looking at those shows and what interested people, I thought I'd bring up some of those into this venue, because many of you out there have not heard some of the subjects, of course, that I may have covered in the past on another station. Plus, in addition, I'm adding new information for those of you who have heard me on the other station, and also heard me over the internet on the other station, for some of you. So, at any rate, this evening, I thought it'd be very interesting to cover what I mean, at least, by spiritual sexuality, which might be something different than what all of you think. So that's okay, because that's what this is about, that we can have different thoughts about these things and still converse and still give ideas. I'm going to explain the reasons why, though, that I have the ideas I have. It's not just, you know, oh, I just thought about that and it just came to me that it should be that way. No, there's actually reasons for this. So, to begin with, let me kind of define the idea of spiritual sexuality. Spiritual sexuality is sexuality that helps to develop more of God's thought or light within the centers, senses, and consciousness of the people involved in the sexuality. And specifically, one of the areas of light that it helps to develop is love. Oh, well, that doesn't surprise, I think, a lot of people. Doesn't surprise me, anyway. And love is a critical element in the ingredient, we might say, of having a sexual relationship with someone if you want it to be spiritual. So basically, if you don't think that way, we're probably going to be, I'm probably going to be saying things that might bother you. Hopefully you do think that. And how come that's the case? Well, let's start off with what happens when people are feeling and in some way directing that feeling towards another person in a sexual fashion. In other words, if you're feeling sexual towards someone and it's directed towards them, now this doesn't have to be through behavior alone. It could be even through thought. It can be through feeling, and you direct it towards another person. Then they can sense that in their sexual centers in their bodies. Yeah, because that's what the sexual centers do, actually, in part, is they can sense sexual feelings coming from other people. It's a really neat thing. And they have the option, then, of doing the same in return. And that's a part of the whole situation, is this whole thing can go, it's bi-directional, it can go both directions. And so it has a great potential for people exchanging energy, even simultaneously, between them, and that we would refer to as sexual energy, because it's going through the sexual chakra of each of the people involved. And the two qualities to the energy that really are so important to understand is that the energy needs to be directed towards the other person so that it fulfills their need, and not the need of the person that's giving it, but the need of the person who's receiving it, in a way that helps them to establish both their identity as a person, their sexual identity as well, by the way, and also it helps them to feel loved and like loving and giving more. Huh. Well, those are pretty simple things. And if you think about what I'm saying, this may start making some sense, because I'm sure you haven't thought about it necessarily this way. I mean, very few people do, if you haven't. And for the few people who have, hey, great. But most people don't really, you know, say, well, what am I doing when I'm feeling this way, et cetera. But that's what's really going on, is that there's actually this potential, we'll say, to improve the other person's feelings and sexuality and identity and self-image and all, on and on, through this relatively, we'll say, simple activity that many people, of course, do. And if it's not an activity, then expression, because it doesn't have to be always an activity. It can be just this expression that people have towards another person. So interestingly, if we look at how this process begins to unfold, one person can say, oh, gee, I feel these feelings of sexuality towards this person. And if it is directed towards the other person with the intent to try to help them to become more loving and help them to be more of a self and to develop themselves more and their identity in themselves and to feel better and to be more giving themselves, and they do the same in reverse, you have then this kind of connection in love together between the two people that will grow their sense, enlighten their senses in general, and interestingly, over time, connect their two bodies together. Connect the two bodies together, because there's actually a bond from the energies moving back and forth when it's done in this loving way that I just described, that actually connects the two people together. They get closer and closer because their senses are becoming connected in phase or direction with each other. That's a very important thing to understand. Sexuality, when it is done spiritually, brings this effect. It produces this effect. Now, I'm going to put that aside for a minute, because I mean, I just wanted to give you know, a beginning definition and understanding of what I mean by spiritual sexuality. And I'm going to just talk about sexuality in general, and also when it's not so spiritual. Okay, hey, let's get it on. I feel like, you know, whatever. And if it's like that, and it's generally focused only on what each individual involved feels, or if you're masturbating and just with yourself, I guess, it's all very self-centered. It's about self-focus. It's very selfish. You may be with another person, but your thoughts aren't necessarily about trying to help them to become more loving, help them to become more established as in their self and improve who they are and to help them to improve their identity in themselves. None of that really matters if you're focused on yourself, because all that matters is, gee, I want to feel good. I like to get aroused and have some excitement and feel good. So it's about, then it's about really about the sense of sexual energy moving through the center, producing stimulation and for some people pleasure, and then maybe release or a climax. Those kinds of feelings, while I'm not saying they're bad necessarily in and of themselves, when they are exclude the love part, produce some relatively negative effects. And I'm going to describe those negative effects as best as I can right now. The first thing is that instead of the energy moving freely out of the center towards the other person for their benefit, it tends to stay stuck inside, especially the sexual center, but this also affects some of the other centers and senses in each of the bodies that human beings live through, which are the three lower ones I talk about so often, the monastic, the astral, and the etheric physical. Most people certainly know what the physical is. And so what is going on is that when each of us chooses to be selfish in our sexuality, we're retaining this energy inside of ourselves. It might feel good. Hey, it might feel great at the moment. But in the long run, it costs us by reducing our level of sense, our ability to love others in general. It distances us from the person that we're involved with, if we are involved with someone in a sexual way. It distances us. And at the end of the sexual experience, we feel more separate, more distant than we did before. That's a good test of it, by the way. If that's happening to you, then listen up to what I'm saying about this selfish way of having sexual relations. Yeah. So this is fascinating to me because it so fits, at least my experiences in my life, and if it does for you, then let me know. But, you see, this is within our control to change. How we relate with other people certainly is up to us. And if we choose to be selfish in our sexuality, we pay the toll for it. We cause ourselves to be harmed, plus we may cause some additional harm with others. And we cause ourselves to be more lonely, more separated, and far less inclusive. Wow. And this is critical for people who are involved in relationships that include sexuality, because it affects all elements of the relationship if the sexual ways that they are having relationship together involve these selfish issues, because then it causes an erosion of the overall relationship and a definite erosion sexually between them, and it causes all the negative things. And I believe, now, I was in practice as a psychotherapist, and I saw many, many people, and I believe that the people I saw that had relationship problems, in their sexuality, they were often selfish. And the cause of much of their relationship problems, not all of them, of course, there's so many different ways people relate, but a lot of the problems came from this selfish use of this basic way that humans and other creatures as well can relate to each other. And when you use this very basic way, the selfish way, it is quite negative. It has some very negative results. Okay, well, I don't want to belabor too much of that negative stuff because I'm here tonight to tell you how to do it positively, right? But if I didn't compare the two, you might not completely get what I'm getting at. And I want you to get that because I don't want anybody to really like believe what I say. It's not like a faith type thing. It's one of these things where you apply what I say in your life and see, you test it out and see whether it's true or not. Then you know for yourself. See, that's what I like. I want people to think for themselves and act for themselves and see if this stuff that I'm talking about, if I'm wildly crazy, that's okay, maybe I am, or maybe I've got onto something here. Not just because of my own experiences, but because of some scientific principles applied and used and thought through, etc. But the whole point is to see whether this really is the truth. And only you can decide that. I mean, really. So give it a shot. Try it out. See. Now, of course, I don't want you to try too hard to be selfish. Maybe just a little to see the effect if you need to. But most people can remember how they've been, and they can see truth from that angle. They don't have to necessarily perform an experiment in the future to determine it, but maybe in some cases that is necessary. Okay, so how then do we become more spiritual if this is really going to be the goal of sexuality, which I'm hoping that I'm encouraging people to think about, at least through what I'm saying, then how do we get people to be more spiritual? What is the goal? How do we achieve it? Where do we start? Does it take two people? Well, to some extent, yes, but generally speaking, that's another issue. And I'm going to leave you with that issue before we go to break, and that is that one of the problems about sexuality in general is that you're attuning your sexual center to the phase relationship of your partners. And I say partners, I mean it in the possessive sense, not in the plural sense. And if you have more than one partner sexually, it's not possible to develop a really complete spiritually sexual relationship. Oh, boy, that's going to get me in trouble with some people, I think. But the thing is, it's true. Because if your sexual center is doing what I'm saying it's doing, and you're becoming attuned with your partner and vice versa, and you're doing all the stuff that we're going to get more into after the break, then the only way to achieve that is by doing it with one person. Because if you're doing it with another person, they're not going to have the same phase relationship, and it's going to undo what you did with the last person. And if you go to the next one, and next one, and next one, you're never going to be able to really achieve a real loving relationship in your sexuality. Oh, you might have great fun, I guess. You might have lots of wild things going on. Maybe you'll have five people you'll be having sex with at the same time. I don't know. But the point is that it will not achieve a spiritual sexual relationship, which is what I'm talking about this evening. Now, I'm going to clarify that more when we come back from break. I always like to give the little teasers, you know. But nonetheless, I want you to think about that and much more. And we will be back, give or take, about 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. BioRepel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about BioRepel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. BioRepel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of BioRepel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives BioRepel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase BioRepel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit BioRepel, that's BIRUPEL.org.
This is Niles McFlower again for Why Life Is. And I hope you thought about what I was just saying, because, these are thought-provoking ideas, aren't I? That in actuality, there's a real science, and I like the word science, there's a real science behind even things like sexual relationships and relationships in general, and why things work the way they do, and how come we feel the way we do, etc. That's what I'm getting at in this show. It's not just some kind of hocus-pocus nonsense. There's something real going on. That's what I love about metaphysics, is it can't explain the inexplicable, especially when it comes to, we'll say, as example right now, the biological sciences do not, without including spirit and chakras and energy between them and all that other stuff, you can't really understand why things are the way they are. I mean, we can talk about hormones, but that really doesn't help much. It doesn't explain the depth of our experiences, and that's what's so important to understand. Okay, so let me go on now about this idea that, the multiple partner thing. And I know this is difficult for people because so many of us, say, well, okay, so am I only to have sexual relations with somebody that I'm going to be, like, committed to or something, and this is going long-term? And because a lot of people, they date, they may only see someone a few times, and then it's on the next person, and what does that leave you with? it's a difficult problem, and it's not an easy answer. I'm not going to say I have the answer for that, by the way. I just have the information. I have the facts, you know, and the facts as I understand them. And for all of you, then, to decide what to do about it, that's a different thing, you know. But let me go through it and try to give as best as I can what we can do to improve the circumstances. Regardless of whether you're going to have a long-term relationship with someone or not, it's best to maintain a state of monogamy while you're being sexual with an individual. The reason for it is simple. It allows you and them the best chance to become closer, while at the same time, it allows both of you to enlighten your senses and to become more close, or closer, I should say, with the Creator, with God. It gives you a chance to create something of great virtue or light between you. It's wonderful. And this is as powerful a reason as I can think of to do that. Because, I mean, now, it doesn't mean that you're committed to that person for any longer than you're choosing to be committed. It just means you're not having sex with four other people while you're having sex with one, or even two other people, one other person, while you're having sex with someone that you choose to be with. And you might say, well, what happens? Can I call it off 1 minute and then go with someone the next minute? Well, I guess you could. I mean, if you really believe that you are ready to be sexual with somebody a minute after you choose to not be with someone else. Most cases, that isn't the way it is it? I mean, you're not really. Not really. Because part of this equation is that you need to have some love for the other person. Does that mean you have to be in love with them? Like, oh, it's forever and ever and no. That would be wonderful if you were. Don't get me wrong. I think that's a terrific thing. But if you need to have love for them and vice versa. What does love for them mean? It means, like I said at the beginning, that the thought of their needs and giving to them the sexual energies that they need to improve themselves is more important than your feelings sexually. So you're really more concerned about how they feel and whether or not this is right for them, and is, you know, and does this really do what is needed for them to become a better person. And vice versa, if they're doing that with you. So if it's a two-directional thing, you're not losing anything, you see. It's just that one's doing it for the other person and vice versa, so you're not just focused on yourself. You have to have empathy, a very strong level of empathy, to know what the other person needs to feel loved. That's an important element. Now, what are the signs? How can we judge this in a behavioral sense? And let me give you some ideas. If you're having any sexual relations with someone, I strongly suggest you attempt this, okay? This is not easy. Some of these things are going to be difficult. They're included under the heading of tantric yoga. What the heck does that mean? That means yoga that creates union between your sexual center and other centers and the other person's. That's what it really means. Now, other people may use the word differently, but that is its official or real definition. Okay, so if you're going to do this, and then I suggest that you, of course, get in agreement with the other person that they're going to try it too. I mean, you don't sort of spring it on them because they may not understand what you're doing. But it's very important to maintain eye contact. Oh. Generally, this means that if you are, quote-unquote, making love, having sexual relations, it's best to have some type of light source available because you may not be able to see their eyes if you're in pitch-black areas, right? And it's also very important to keep your eyes open. Yeah, wide open would be even better. Most people are kind of freaked out by that. I'm surprised when I talk to them, but they actually are. They say, well, gee, it's so weird to actually look at someone while we're involved in these acts that we're doing. I said, if that's weird to you, then you need to work on that, because that means you don't feel comfortable being close to someone on a intimate soul level, because the eyes are the windows of the soul. You've heard that? Well, actually, it's true. And if you look in the other person's eyes, you will maintain a much more, we'll say, soul relationship with them. Soul meaning that you're concerned about helping them to become more giving while they're doing the same in return. That's what I mean by that. And that's what is a good gauge of it. Yes. If you find it difficult to do, it's because you've been having selfish sex and you're afraid to be close. With the person you're with, anyway. And if it's in general that way for you, then it's true through, you know, it's a generalized condition that's going on in you. Can you change it? Absolutely. Absolutely. But you can't change it without discussing it with whoever you're going to be with and without really trying to become more giving in general with that person and with other people when you're not being sexual. Because while you're being sexual, it's very difficult to change these behaviors and change this overall, we'll say, way that energy moves between you and another person because it's so intense. The higher the intensity of the energy, the more difficult it is to change its direction in a way which is positive. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about changing the directional issues. And so as the energy goes up, the ability to change its direction goes down if you're self-focused. So the hotter you get, the hotter the other person gets, the more intense it seems, then the harder it's going to be to keep control over these things that I'm discussing with you right now. So be aware of that. It's not so simple to change. And it may take months of time with the same person, your partner, whoever it might be able to achieve the results that I'm referring to. It is not simple. But the rewards are amazing. I mean, tremendous improvements in your relationship together, in your individual selves, and in your sexual connection. Tremendous improvements can be had by just following these recommendations. There's very simple things I'm going to be suggesting. Nothing like, oh, you got to go say 50 mantras and then you got to stand on your head and, you know, do some kind of weird. No, I'm talking about things that we can all do, really. This is possible for each person to achieve. Okay, next thing I suggest, all right? This is a very pragmatic show, isn't it? Oh, okay. Next thing I suggest is that restraint of movement, at least in the beginning of this whole process. Again, this has something to do with intensity, but it also has to do with focus of attention versus activity. Many people substitute their focus of attention on the other person for higher levels and faster levels of activity. Those kinds of things, those substitutions, are very hurtful for the development of intimacy on a sexual level or any other level between people. So deliberateness and slowness is an improvement in most circumstances for developing more spiritual sexuality, especially in the beginning. And it doesn't have to maintain or be maintained that way for people who get very far advanced in their spiritual levels. This doesn't necessarily apply, but we're talking about the beginning of this thing and how can you make this, how can you get yourself to have a more spiritual sexual relationship? And I'm trying to do that for you. I'm trying to tell you how to do it. Okay. If you can achieve the right, we'll say, slowness, the other thing is rhythm between you and the other person. Sexual energy moves back and forth between people, very much the way their bodies move. Isn't that strange? Maybe not. Not to me, anyway, but it seems a little bit odd because most people never think about it. But as the bodies are moving back and forth, you know what that's all about, especially during acts of intercourse. But there are other sexual things besides that may produce a similar movement. This back and forth movement is really an expression of the energy that's in movement. Now, the rhythm that is applied has to do with meeting the other person's needs. This is how you know whether or not you're truly doing what I'm saying. Because if it's meeting the other person's needs, the rhythm is improving their ability to sense themselves and you, and it's also increasing the level of intimacy and closeness. And you can tell this best by looking into their eyes. So that I think goes back into play again. And so it gives you a feedback. You'll know by seeing. Yes. And you can also see whether the other person is really seeing you or whether those kind of blanked out. Because you can look at someone's eyes, but they may not be there. You know what I'm saying? But if you really see them there, then that's a good thing. And this rhythm is established as much in the heart and the soul as it is in the body. It shouldn't require a person, you know, having a metronome going back and forth or something like that. As a matter of fact, if that's what is required, then most likely you're not on the right track, you know. So this sort of thing is very important because you want to establish this rhythm that is based upon the needs of the other person, not your own. You might say, well, then if the other person is doing it for you, then how doesn't it match? Yeah, it does eventually match. You find a frequency between the two of you that works. That frequency, you might call it the magic point, where each of you are giving exactly as necessary in both intensity and direction. One person may be more intense and giving up some of their direction, while the other one is a little less intense, but being much more profoundly in the right direction of the other person. That's often the case, by the way. Often the case. It is not completely the same thing. The two people are not going to experience the same kind of experience. They're going to experience what is needed for them to become most loving between the two of them. Now, that sounds a little complicated, and I don't mean to make it so, but that is the way it works. For those of you who have a copy of Life's Hidden Meaning, which is that textbook I wrote, if you go to Chapter 7, there are a whole bunch of pictures. Look at the pictures because that helps to explain some of these more complicated parts about the exchanges of energy. And why it is so difficult to understand this is because these energies are moving back and forth, and I'm talking about them without being able to create the picture of it in your head as you listen. That's one of the problems of radio is it isn't television, right? Okay, but nonetheless, I'm trying to describe it as best as I can. And so we have two issues that are really critical, and that's intensity of the energy and the direction of the energy. And again, one person might be better at one side of that equation than the other person is. And oftentimes what you need is to have, it's usually the woman, just so you know, who's more effectual in the direction category, and it's usually the man who's more directional in the intensity category. You might say, well, what about homosexual people? Well, in those cases, usually one is adopting a role that is the opposite role to the whatever sex they are. So that's a common thing. Now, homosexuals do have some issues, and I'm going to bring up those issues when we come back from break. But nonetheless, in general, the principles I'm telling you about apply to all people. And they also could theoretically apply to other kingdoms besides human, but humans are the ones that truly are seeking spiritual connection or God connection with their own creator and with other beings, other human beings on that level. Animals generally are not, so I'm not going to be talking about animals having sexual relations because it doesn't make any sense. It's not a spiritual thing for them. They do it because they have an urge to do it, and they do receive some level of excitement and pleasure, but most of their urge is about procreation, and it has a lot more to do with their group soul and its needs than on an individual level so much. It's really not that much for most animals the case. All right, so we're going to be going to break here in just a few seconds. I want you to think about this. Where do we go once we attain these basic elements, and how far can we go to develop a truly, we'll say, vastly more intimate, vastly more godlike sexual relationship with another human being? Well, we'll discuss that when we come back from break, which will be about 2.5 minutes from right now.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of Movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
And we're back. This is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Today we're talking about spiritual sexuality. Yeah, that kind of unusual combination for many people, or some people, they don't think that sexuality has anything to do with spiritual. So it's an interesting point. But I do, and I'm telling you why, and et cetera. And I think I want to go into the more advanced parts of it, if you wouldn't mind. I mean, of course, this is a subject that really requires probably 8, 10, 12 hours of talking about it and people reading. But, you know, I'm giving a little bit about each part of the subject that I think is relevant. And if we're going to be talking about the more advanced elements in spiritual sexuality, we need to start thinking about, well, okay, if this really joins two people together over time, now, it's not going to happen just immediately. What are the consequences of that? What does it really do for two people to join their centers together and to start sensing as one? Well, the first thing it does is they're not doing it with just each other, but they're also doing it with God. Because in spiritual sexuality, you're trying to create one of the virtues or one of the most important elements of what God is here to do, and that is to help us to find the highest way to exist, the most meaningful way, and the way that creates more growth in life, in ourselves and everything else, which grows our own creator. And one of those ways is with love. And love is a big part of spiritual sexuality. And when two people are giving to each other so that they can become better givers themselves, and are doing it through sexuality, which joins their senses together over time, then their awareness, their perception of life, starts to become a mutual co-service with their creator. They're spiritually co-serving together with their Creator. Both through their sexuality and also in many other ways in their life, they will naturally develop that ability. Wow. That is amazing. Talk about a gift. And let me tell you something. It took me a while to figure this out, but this was one of the intentions of there being sexuality in the first place. For human beings and beings beyond human, that's the reason. Not just procreation. I know that there's some religions that say procreation, this and that. No, I'm telling you that it really, this is the big plus. This is one of the reasons, in my opinion, that God said, hey, maybe we can add sex. Because it allows people to join their awareness in a co-serving way, in an enlightening way, that helps to co-create more of their own Creator in themselves and others. And it does it in an amazingly magical way. What a wonderful thing. Yes. Now, does that mean that everybody that you co-serve with, you should be sexual with? No, I'm just talking about one person because you can only do this with one person. If you tried to do it with everybody, you wouldn't be able to do it with anybody because of what I said earlier. You have to attune your centers to the same other person, to one other person, and there has to be that connection. You can't go in five different directions at the same time. It won't work. It undoes what you do with the last person, and on and on. It's a unique bonding that takes place, a uniqueness, an individualness. Now, you might say, well, how can you be individual if you're actually becoming more like the other person? But it isn't that way. You're not becoming more like them. They're doing the same with you in return, and you're both becoming something greater together. You're not remaining static. Each of you are growing into something far greater than what you were to begin with, eventually beyond even human. And let me tell you about that. If a person were to unify first the sexual center, and then eventually it travels through all the centers, all the chakras. There's seven of them in each body. For the lower bodies that are considered human, which is the etheric, physical, the astral, and the monastic, if you join those centers together to any significant level, there is an automatic benefit that the next body beyond the human bodies, called the intuitional or Buddhic body, starts to develop its senses and to join those senses together. You start becoming superhuman by being loving, truly loving, and soul-like in your loving with another human being. Tell me that isn't amazing. It's absolutely fantastic. I'm not kidding. It's an amazing thing. Now, I mentioned about, I'm probably going to get some negative stuff about this. I have to tell it the way I see it. You know, I mentioned about homosexuality. Homosexuals can love each other. They can love each other immensely. The problem that homosexuality has in its science, we'll say, is that if two people are of the same sex and they don't have some unique conditions where they have, we'll say, some screw-up in their sexual anatomy, then what happens is when they try to do some of the stuff that I'm talking about, it doesn't exactly work correctly because, unfortunately, it doesn't help the other person to develop their own sexual identity because you're not reinforcing the opposite of your own spin. It's called spin in the sexual center. And there's other issues that come into play. So it's more difficult for homosexuals to develop closeness and the higher levels of development that I'm talking about while they're having sex. They can do it in many other ways in their life together, and that's a wonderful thing. They should. But it's going to be more difficult to develop true intimacy on a spiritual level through sexuality for homosexuals. Now, if I didn't tell them this, I would be hiding the truth, and it's probably not politically correct in some quarters for me to be saying this, but I have absolutely no animus, no homophobia or anything about homosexual people. I just need to let them know that they're up against a more difficult problem than heterosexuals are when they are being sexual. Not when they're relating in any other way, but when they're being sexual, it's very difficult for them to actually get these higher bonding levels. And for that reason, homosexuality tends to have a more fragile and more difficult type of development in relationship between people. It's harder for them to keep themselves together because of this nature of the sexuality between them. The sexuality keeps kind of separating them to some extent, while the rest of their relationship might be perfectly and wonderfully loving and close. Whereas heterosexuals don't have to worry about that so much. There's a natural connection there that allows them to get closer through sexuality without there being a conflict. And it's more complicated than I'm explaining it, actually. So, again, if you want to get this book I wrote, you can read about it in there with greater understanding, maybe. But it's very important for all of us to understand that nothing I'm saying indicates that people who are homosexual should ever be treated in any hostile or depreciating or negative way. They're already got difficulties if they're trying to have a close relationship with someone on a sexual level. So we certainly should be adding to that by doing anything or saying anything to them that causes them to have further problems. The issue here is about how the mechanism works. It's about energies. It's really, you know, it's like this, just to describe it, is really about how do you change the way energy moves when it was designed a certain way. And I can say that it's very difficult, if at all possible, to really do that. So we can only do the best we can. And if you're homosexual and you're involved in a relationship with someone, then the best thing to do is to love them more in every other way possible, and to maybe experiment with and see if anything I'm saying is correct. But it'd be difficult to compare it unless you've had a heterosexual time in your life and can really relate to the differences. And maybe some people have, and of course they that have had true loving heterosexual love sexually, and then they can compare them and they might realize that it's easier. But of course it wouldn't be easier for someone who is hiding their homosexuality while they're having heterosexuality, because that wouldn't prove anything to them. This is a difficult subject. What about the question of homosexuality being innate? You know, like we're born homosexual. Very few people that are homosexual are born that way, unless they were homosexual in a prior life and it's a reincarnation. That's another issue. But still, the numbers are relatively small. The truth is, in my opinion, is that homosexuality is a choice. It's a weird choice, because it's a choice that we don't consciously make necessarily. It's more subconscious. It comes from we'll say life experiences, as well as feelings sometimes of rebellion about being a certain sex. See, we're generally born in threes, but there's no guarantee of this. But generally we're born in threes as far as our sexuality is concerned. Three lives of being a male and three lives of being a female is a common thing in this reincarnation issue. And at the time when a person moves from being one sex or another, from one life to the next, there can be some feelings of, well, gee, I just don't feel like I really am that kind of sex, because you've already been three times on the other sex, you know. And if there are other issues that the person may be in rebellion with their parents or other people, it can lead to the point where a person may choose, well, I'm going to go back to being the sex I was in my last lifetime. And that's not so uncommon. And once you start that, you can actually start being homosexual in several lifetimes. It's an odd thing, but that's how it can work out. And, of course, you know, some people choose to get operations and do all that other stuff. And yeah, if you mess around with your hormones and change things around, sure, you can kind of get a sense of being the other sex if you want to. But it's very difficult to complete the process, because a lot of it has to do with esoteric stuff, meaning hidden stuff that's all metaphysical. And that part you can't change, unfortunately. You can act, you can, you know, prove to yourself maybe and to others that you really changed. But it's almost impossible, really, to do that. Okay, so So I hope I've covered that subject of sexuality, and if I offended anyone, give me a call. I'll talk. We can talk about it. You know, you can yell at me if you want. It's all right. I don't mind. But, you know, let's go to the final levels of what we can achieve through spiritual sexuality. The final levels really have to do with this co-service leading to a true union, and again, it's called tantric union, between two people, where instead of just unifying each of the centers in each of their bodies individually, they're also unifying the centers between themselves together as they co-serve. And it can lead to an acceleration of their leaving the human kingdom, becoming a superhuman. Some people call it masters. I don't know what you want to call them. But they're certainly beyond human. And it also can lead to an amazing other factor. And this is pretty interesting. And that is that the two people can actually get to the point where, and some of you can say, oh my God, you got to be kidding. But where you feel and can think the other person's thoughts, you can feel the other person's feelings, and while you're having sexuality, you can actually feel what the other person is feeling. I mean, directly, not empathically. I'm talking about you can actually, it's like you're there. That's possible. That's possible as this tantric type of union takes place. Now, some people say, well, I don't know if I really want that. I don't know if I want to feel what the other person feels. That's okay. You don't have to. I'm just saying what you're capable of. What's possible to happen. And these are amazing levels that we can create for ourselves and our partner together. Truly, we can reach these exalted levels of inclusiveness through spiritual sexuality. I hope I'm selling you this because this is really a beautiful thing. Is it possible for most people to do this? Yes. I know it sounds like, oh, well, this one out of a zillion people are going to be able to do that. No! We are all meant to do this. It's just that what stands in our way is our own selfishness and illusions. That's it. Just that. If you're not selfish and you don't have illusions, you can actually have this happen on a natural level and never having heard this show or anything else or that I've written or anything. It'll come anyway because it's a natural part of life. It is not unnatural. And you don't have to go to some class on tantric yoga or whatever. And some of these tantric yoga places are really nothing more than excuses for people having sex, and that isn't what it's about. Remember, you can't do it if you're not committed and if you're not monogamous with another person. So if you go there and meet five other people to, or 10 other people to have tantric yoga with or tantric sexual experiences, that's just nonsense. It's kind of completely against the whole point, right? So if that's what's being offered, you should know that according to my understanding of spiritual sexuality, that's the antithesis of what it should be. Okay, what's the extreme level of benefit is that a person reaches a point where the union they have between themselves and the other person is so great that they truly become, and now this is, I'm going to use a favorite word that many people use, soulmates, to actually join themselves together so strongly that on a soul level, they will incarnate together indefinitely as lovers. But you need to include this tantric sexual part if that's what you're thinking. You need to be doing some of the stuff I'm talking about, if not all of it, if you really intend to have a true soulmate that's going to live beyond the physical world and even into the astral and monastic and into other many lifetimes together. It's possible to do, but this type of sexuality is needed to be done. So it's something to think about. I want you to think about it because that's what this show is about, is getting people to think about new things that you probably never even heard of before. But we are out of time for right now, and I yacked and yacked and yacked, and I used up my time. I don't even have time to tell you where I'm going to be talking and all those other things, but that's okay. That's enough. Many of you couldn't come unless you were in the Phoenix metropolitan area anyway. Listen, I really enjoyed this show talking to you about this really fascinating subject. There's so much more to say. So we'll cover it in some other shows in the future, I promise. Well, we've got to end it for right now. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.
7 years old, alone on the train. 42nd Street in the rain. And my mother says, take 75 cents for the homeless man. Dodging the manholes, feeling like I'm an island now. My mother says, take 75 cents for the homeless man. And my mother says, take 75 cents for the homeless man. She'd say that if they